Good morning. Once again, welcome to Catholic Radio. We invite you now to listen to the voice of Catholic tradition on Long Island.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Angelo Panzica, welcoming you to Catholic Radio, the voice of Catholic tradition on Long Island, dedicated to promoting the Catholic faith, which, as the Apostle St. Paul teaches, comes by hearing, and without which it is impossible to please God. Christ is risen, alleluia. Christ is truly risen, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This morning, Catholic Radio has the distinct honor of having on our program His Excellency Bishop Richard Williamson of the Society of St. Pius X, who is visiting Long Island to confer the sacrament of confirmation later on this morning at St. Michael the Archangel Church in Farmingville. And following the confirmations, there will be a pontifical high mass celebrated by the bishop. So we have taken the opportunity of the bishop's visit to invite him to speak on Catholic Radio. His first-rate intellect, his keen insight into the modern world, his absolute fearlessness in standing for Catholic principles, and his unflinching obedience to eternal Rome is well known. And now it is my pleasure to introduce to you His Excellency Bishop Richard Williamson. Good morning, Your Excellency, and welcome to the Voice of Catholic Radio on Long Island.
Good morning.
First of all, we want to thank you for taking the time out from your busy schedule to be with us this Sunday, to offer your insights and comments regarding the situation in the church. And let me begin by making this comment. 1 year before the Episcopal consecrations by Archbishop Lefebvre, the Archbishop wrote a letter to each of the four young priests who were to be consecrated. And in that letter, the Archbishop revealed the sentiments of his heart that the destruction of the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ is following rapidly in the interior of the church, at the very core of the church itself. Has that situation, which the Archbishop described nearly 20 years ago, changed in any way?
Surely it's only got worse. The same ideas are still holding sway, and there's no substantial reaction. There's maybe a bit of a sentimental reaction, but they're not letting go of the ideas that caused Vatican II, and so they're not letting go of the destruction of the church. The destruction of the church is going on.
The church is in a free fall.
You could say so.
You spoke of some ideas. What ideas are these?
Well, they're the modern ideas. Democracy, human rights, liberty, equality, fraternity. The ideals of the revolution. The ideals of Freemasonry. The ideals of people who want to get rid of every trace of Catholicism or God, or our Lord Jesus Christ, and who want to bring in a new world order. And it's atheistic and unchristian. It's going to be, as Catholics know, the new world order of the Antichrist. But these people are absolutely set upon it, and they've succeeded in infiltrating the top of the church. And so the poor churchmen who should be defending them, defending the church with their life's blood, tagging along behind.
So the loss of faith or the apostasy goes high into the church, into the very core of the church itself.
Yes, it's not that the churchmen are behind the New World Order, but it's that the churchmen are so confused, they've allowed themselves to get ideas of the new ideas and ideals of Freemasonry in their heads, and therefore the Freemasons are doing with the church more or less what they want.
It's been accurately described that the Second Vatican Council was a revolution in the church, 1789, in the church all over again. What is meant by that?
I think it was Cardinal Sunnis who said that, and the Archbishop Lefebvre entirely agreed. Liberty, equality, fraternity are the ideals of the French Revolution. With liberty, you dissolve truth. With equality, you dissolve all order and hierarchy. And with fraternity, you rebuild a brand new world. The equivalent in Vatican II is religious liberty, which dissolves religious truth and means that any religion is good, even if it's talking complete nonsense. Equality means that you break down all hierarchy. The parish priest has to listen to the laity. The bishop has to listen to his priests. The pope has to listen to his bishops. So nobody is governing from above any longer. And you get the secret government governing from behind, as in the world. And then fraternity means that when you've broken everything into pieces, you put the pieces together again in ecumenism, which means that the Catholic Church is just one amongst many other religions in a kind of smorgasbord of religions.
So the renewal, the so-called renewal, since the council is simply not Catholic.
It's a busted flush. It's proving to be every day more false. That not bearing, our Lord said, judge by the fruits, and the fruits of Vatican II are just null and void.
It seems that this false notion of ecumenism has a stranglehold on the church.
Yes, because the churchmen too much believe in the modern world. The modern world is built on basically anti-Catholic principles. The modern world is built on Freemasonic principles, which are absolutely opposed to Catholic principles. And the churchmen have allowed themselves to be infiltrated and contaminated and corrupted by Freemasonic ideas. And so supposing you had an ice salesman in the old days, and somebody comes along and persuades the ice salesman that he should, in order to sell his ice, he should put it out in the sun so that everybody can see, and then all the passers-by will come along and buy his ice. So he buys the idea, and he puts his ice out in the sun, and then he's all surprised when it melts. Now, you'd have thought if the iceman had any common sense, he'd start thinking, and he'd put the ice back in the shade, or he'd put it back in the cave, where it's not going to melt. But no, if the iceman is absolutely persuaded that the sun is the best place for his ice is going to go on melting. These Catholic churchmen of today are absolutely persuaded that the best place to put their Catholic church is in the sun of the Freemasons, in the Freemasonic sun, and so the Catholic church is melting just like ice in bright sunshine. And the Catholic churchmen have not got the common sense, and they've not got the guts to backtrack. And they watch the ice melting under their eyes, and they tell themselves, and they tell everybody else, well, ice melting is really what it's meant to do. Look what a lovely little flow of water we've got now. Instead of ice, we've got water, but we never wanted ice. We love water. So these churchmen are now saying, we love the destroyed church. We love a church with no parishioners. We love a convent with no sisters. Everybody's happy now and enjoy joining in the fun and swimming with the current, just not swimming, just letting themselves go with the great current of this crazy and stupid modern world.
So it's not merely the liturgy, the Latin Mass, which is just the tip of the iceberg.
No.
It's the Catholic faith itself.
Yeah, that's right. The Catholic Mass is a little more than the tip of the iceberg. But, you know, the destruction of the doctrine took place at Vatican II, which was 62 to 65. The destruction of the Mass followed in 69. So from 65 to 69, there was the good Mass, but that didn't stop the corruption of the church, and so the Mass went. The underpinning of the Mass is the Catholic faith. The faith is basic. The Mass is the greatest manifestation of the faith and the means by which most people live their faith. And that's why the Catholics have gone, the ordinary Catholic in the pew has gone crazy, because he's living his Catholic faith with a Mass which is half Protestant. So the Catholic ice is melting in the Protestant Freemasonic sun, and the poor man in the pew doesn't understand what's going on, and the poor churchmen either don't understand or haven't got the guts to understand what's going on. So they're all just blindly following along.
And well known that there was a triple agreement just prior to the opening of the council with the Jewish Freemasons of B'nai B'rith, the Communists, and the Protestants. They were all invited to be observers at the council.
Yep. So, you know, 1517, the Protestants, Luther, 1770, the Freemasons cranking up in London, and then 1970, the Russian Revolution. So the combination of Protestants, Freemasons, and Communists, which is the classic classic enemies of the church, to go to them to find out how to run the church is like going to the Sunshine Man to find out how to keep ice. It won't work.
It won't work. Main thing is this is ecumenism, which is the engine driving the conciliar church.
Ecumenism is not, I don't think it's the root. It's a very dangerous problem, and it does a lot of damage. But ecumenism, deep down, corresponds to fraternity, which is only the third of the revolutionary ideals. The first is liberty, and liberty from the truth. You firstly got to unhook from the truth before you can believe that all religions are on an equal footing. So I think religious liberty is more deep than ecumenism. It comes in front of ecumenism. Ecumenism is simply the result of religious liberty. Ecumenism is doing an untold amount of damage. But the problem is that people have lost their grip on truth, including the Catholic churchmen. They don't believe in truth, and if they do believe in it, then they believe... Well, they don't believe in an objective truth. That's the bottom line. Every man's truth is as good as any other man's truth.
Your Excellency, is there a thaw in the relation between the society and with Rome?
There's not any substantial change. It's a kind of standoff, because the Sistine Vice stands by Catholic truth, and Rome is standing by liberty, equality, fraternity. Religious liberty, collegiality, and ecumenism. So the two can't meet. For there to be a real understanding, either the society has got to betray the truth, which God forbid, or Rome has got to convert, which may God grant. I'm afraid there's very little likelihood of Rome converting. They're just enjoying their place in the Masonic world sunshine too much. And I hope there's no chance of the society betraying the truth. And therefore, there's politeness and sweetness and niceness on both sides. Bishop Furley is very nice to the Pope, and the Pope is very nice to Bishop Furley, and so on and so on. But niceness is not going to hack it. The problem is much deeper than just being nice.
For those who just tuned in, we're speaking with His Excellency Bishop Richard Williamson of the Society of St. Pius X, who is visiting Long Island to confer the sacrament of confirmation. Your Excellency, with the expansion of the society throughout the world, and with more of the faithful turning to the society for spiritual assistance, does the society intend to consecrate additional bishops to meet the growing needs of the society?
It's very possible. Nothing prevents it. Because it's an emergency of the church, and in an emergency, the usual laws don't apply. The usual laws are good as usual laws, but usual laws don't apply in unusual circumstances. My wife is, if I had a wife, or a man's wife is in danger, and he drives up to the hospital, and there, it says you shan't park opposite the emergency exit or whatever. But he parks there because he's got to get her out and into the hospital fast. So, you know, he's in an emergency. He's not going to obey the parking laws. The emergency is too serious to obey the parking laws. This crisis of the church, this melting of the Catholic Church in the Masonic sunshine, is too serious to obey little rules like, you have to have the Pope's explicit permission to consecrate bishops. So the society would certainly... At the given moment, it's certainly going to. If the crisis goes on and on and on, then certainly the time is going to come, I don't know when the society will consecrate a few more bishops, yes.
Would this be a complication in the relation with Rome, then?
I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Anybody at all smart in Rome understands perfectly well why the society's consecrating bishops. The delinquents in Rome will kick up a tremendous fuss in the media, but I honestly don't think it's going to affect anybody that matters, either on the side of the society or on the side of Rome.
Mm.
They know what we're up to, and we know what they're up to, and it's gonna go on until the Lord God puts an end to this situation.
Yes. We spoke of the expansion of the society throughout the world, and thanks be to God, the society is expanding on all the continents. It's a wonder, thanks be to God.
Yeah, in some places there's more expansion than in others. I think in the United States there's a good deal of expansion. I mean, Father Sendekas was telling me yesterday that our centers all over the United States are expanding, thanks be to God, and God bless America. But I don't think in all continents there's a great expansion taking place. I mean, I'm stationed presently in South America, and I don't think there's a great expansion there.
Mm-hmm.
People are asleep. The Catholics are asleep. Either they're asleep or they just don't want to be bothered. They don't want to take the trouble to get their act together, to get their faith together. They're just too comfortable and too easy and too soft the way they are. Or it's too difficult to get their act together, because modern life is very difficult for Catholics.
This year, 2007, we commemorate the centennial of the Pope Pius X's encyclical Pascendi, where he branded modernism as the synthesis of all heresies. Simply put, the work of the society is simply the continuation of the work of Pope St. Pius X.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it shows his name. He had the number of these characters, and the number is basically the dissolution of truth. Minds are mush. Modern philosophy makes minds into mush, and a mass of people have mush minds today. They've got the sound of music between their ears, and they can't get anything else in between their ears. It's just everything is sweet and nice, and the hills are alive with the sound of music, and so on and so on. And everybody's nice, and everybody's sweet, and there's just no truth. There's no truth. It's any man can think anything he likes, and he's got absolutely every right to think anything he likes. And nobody's right, and nobody's wrong. It's mush. It's mush in the morning, mush at noontime, and mush at supper time. It's just mush, mush, mush.
Mm.
People can't think. Words are losing their meanings. The journalists play havoc with words. Alternative lifestyle, termination of pregnancy. Nice words to describe horrible things, and then they find horrible words to describe nice things. The journalists are delinquents.
Mm.
Conscious or unconscious, God knows.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, his pontificate enters into its second year, Holy Father Benedict turns 80. Are there any hopeful signs in him?
He seems to be a decent man. He seems to have a good heart. Certainly he likes the old liturgy. Certainly he would like to liberate the old mass. Certainly he would like to see more tradition back in the liturgy of the Catholic Church. But while he has a good heart, his mind is gone. His mind is full of the philosophy that Pius X denounced in Pascendi. And to go up with a nice heart against a rotten mind is like going up against a tank with a pea shooter. Nice feelings won't hack it against a convinced ideology. And to go up against a bad ideology, you need a good ideology. The day when this dear Pope, let's call him a dear Pope, no problem. The day when this dear Pope gets his mind straight, either the Freemasons kill him within a few weeks, or they martyr him within a few weeks, or he has to run for his life, or by some incredible miracle, he has enough support in Rome, but I don't believe that would be the case. He would have enough support in Rome to pull the church straight, but I don't believe that. So either he would get martyred, he would have to run for his life. John Paul I was very possibly killed by these characters. They don't play softball. You get in their way, out you go. You will get suicided if necessary. Suicides with two bullets in the head.
That's playing hardball.
That's the hardball these people play. They don't mind killing.
Mm-hmm.
if you get in the way of their new world order, if you seriously get in the way of their new world order.
Benedict XVI is very much a man of the council.
Yes, he was a disciple, a close disciple of Karl Rahner, who was one of the leading heads, the leading intellectuals of the council, a very gifted man, but gone very wrong. And Joseph Ratzinger, Father Joseph Ratzinger, was right by his side and absorbing those ideas and promoting those ideas. And he's never, that we know, he's never essentially changed those ideas since. It's just that, alongside those rotten ideas in his head, he has a good heart. And you ask me, how can a man have rotten ideas and a good heart? Well, people are contradictory. And their head and their heart can go in two different directions. And it looks as though Cardinal Ratzinger's heart is good, God bless him, God love him. Pope Ratzinger's heart is good, but his head is long since gone. And when a man reaches 80, he doesn't usually change his ideas.
Regarding the motu proprio, idea of liberalizing the mass, is this a real solution to the crisis?
I think, well, it's a first step in this sense that the new rite of mass, the Pope Paul VI, the Novus Ordo Mass, strangles grace. The Society, the Archbishop of Lefebvre and the Society of Providence have never said that the new mass is never valid, but they've always said it's a bad mass. It's Protestantized, and therefore grace is strangled. There can still be grace reaching the faithful through the Novus Ordo, but much less than reaches it through the true Mass. Therefore, to make it possible for priests and laity to attend the new the old Mass again would liberate, make it possible for grace to flow in many places. That I do believe. But would that be the end of the crisis? Definitely not. But it would be a first step. But to end the crisis, the faith has got to be rebuilt. And the churchmen have got to understand the difference between truth and falsehood. There is a difference between 2 and 2 are 4 and 2 and 2 are 5, but these churchmen don't see it.
Yes, and the society would jump at the opportunity to collaborate with these churchmen in rebuilding the church and Christendom.
Of course. I mean, if the society is there guarding the treasures of the church. The society cannot save the church. Let's get very clear. Only the Pope, only God, through his vicar, can save the church. But the society can guard, like St. Athanasius, can guard the treasure of the doctrine and the true sacraments until God rescues his Pope. When God rescues the Pope, then the Pope will have some allies, and there will still be some Catholics around to support him and start to rebuild the church. But it may only be on the other side of a dreadful chastisement.
Mm. So it will take a big effort to overcome this lethargy.
I think it's going to take a chastisement. I think that it's happened before. At the time of Noah, the Lord had to clean out with a great worldwide flood, of which only survived by only 8 souls. This time, I think it'll be a flood of, according to Our Lady in Japan in 1973, it'll be a flood of fire, a deluge of fire. And she said, a great part of mankind will be wiped out. The good as well as the bad, and the priests and the faithful won't be spared. It'll be a chastisement such as has never been seen in the history of mankind. That makes a lot of sense. I don't think anything else will clean up this mess.
So on this Sunday, which is Low Sunday, you'll be off to St. Michael's to confer the sacrament of confirmation.
If I don't have a fatal car accident between here and Farmingville, yes.
Yes. For the sake of, the Catholic Church will have, I think, about 40 more soldiers of Christ.
Please, God, as long as these young people, I guess they're mostly young people, as long as they have their minds together, as well as their hearts, not just their hearts, but their minds, as long as they've got the faith, and as long as they're being taught the truth, and they're taught the truth about the modern world. Because in the 1950s, you had a lot of Catholics who believed the truth, but they had no idea of what the modern world was up to. And they allowed themselves to be gotten to by the modern world, and so the truth just floated downstream a little later. So these young men today had better not be 50sists. They better not be Catholics like in the 1950s. They're going to have to be a lot more awake and a lot more gutsy about their faith.
Your Excellency, if there is a young man out there who's considering entering into the priesthood, into the seminary, What advice can you give him?
Firstly, pray the rosary every day. Secondly, pray to St. Joseph. Thirdly, contact the local, St. Joseph is patron of vocations. And thirdly, contact, get in touch with a local, a nearby society of Pius X priest, who will guide him towards the faith of Pius X, Pope Pius X, and not towards the faith of dear sweet Pope Ratzinger.
And for our young families out there, our fathers, our mothers,
children. That's a huge problem today. One, the family rosary. Two, dad has got to read. Dad has got to stop watching silly, stupid sports on television. And dad has got to start reading something serious. Dad has got a responsibility. When he goes in front of his maker's going to ask him, what did you do with those children I gave you? Ah, but the modern world... what did you do with your Catholic faith? Well, what did you do? Well, I went to church, I went to Mass on Sunday morning. Is that all you did? Yeah, well, God knows. God doesn't have to ask questions. But the fathers are falling down. And they're not... they've got to read. I mean, I don't want to accuse all of them by any means. Some of them, yes, but not by any means all of them. But they've got to read. The fathers have got to study. And they've got to kick the electronics out of the house. In the home, no television, no internet, and no Nintendo games. Let the boys be taught carpentry or taking apart a motorbike. These are old-fashioned things for boys to do. Boyish, manly things for boys to do. And let the girls learn to sew. Keep their minds and their hands occupied, especially the hands. And then let them have the children, let parents have the children that God sends, difficult though it is today, and let them have a strong faith so that the faith is built into the hearts of the kids. So that when these kids go out to this rotten world, the devil finds the fortress already occupied by good ideas, and then the bad ideas, the muck, a good deal of the muck, not all, but a good deal of the muck will bounce off. Mm-hmm. If the kids have been formed and shaped at home by mum and dad, and then don't let them send the children to public school. The public schools are gone, gone, gone. I was hearing about it from somebody yesterday who did some teaching in some of the public schools here on Long Island. She said they are gone. So let the mum and dad take the considerable trouble to homeschool. It's not easy and it's not the best. The best is a decent school. Then comes homeschooling, but homeschooling comes a long way in front of rotten schools. And I'm afraid the schools today are gone.
Mm. And another thing is this rock and roll culture.
Oh,
it's filling our souls with trash.
The music is very important, and mum and dad have got to... It's very good if the children play some music. Unfortunately, mum and dad can't always give the example, but mum and dad can at least shut rock out of the home. And if they are teaching and informing the children from an early enough age, the children won't revolt against what mum and dad say. They won't deep down revolt. The parents today say there's nothing we can do. The kids are too far gone. They know they won't obey. They won't listen to us. But that's like the captain on a great tanker saying that the tanker is drifting when he refuses to grab hold of the rudder. If the captain refuses to grab hold of the rudder, of course the tanker drifts. But the rudder is there. Parental authority exists. I'm not saying it's easy and I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight, but it needs to start from the very beginning of a child's life. And the dad has got to get some old-fashioned kind of authority back into his home. The main problem in today's families is the father, not the mother, the father.
The absentee father who's off maybe 10, 12 hours a day.
Yes, that's the problem. Let's not accuse all the dads because their life is not easy. But, he drives an exhausting three-quarters of an hour, hour and a half, in the tense freeway, and then he's in a horrible office pushing papers all day long. Then he's got another hour and a half back home. By the time he gets home, it's very late. His wife is neglected, and she starts thinking of someone else, perhaps. The children are neglected, and they don't have a dad. And when he gets home, all he's fit for is to push the remote control and watch television. So it's not the dads aren't entirely to blame. But they've got to start thinking, they've got to start reading, they've got to start thinking, and they've got to stop watching silly, stupid sports.
Yes. So the key is the father of the family.
The key is the father of the family. Sports compared with so much else are good. I mean, they're sane. They're, at least they're not, well, they're not mostly pornographic. But the sports are a waste of time. Time is short. The devil is stealing the children. And dad is watching sports instead of looking after his children, talking to his boys and listening to them, taking them out somewhere to fish or to ride bikes or whatever. The dad needs to spend his time. Parents must spend not quality time, but quantity time with their kids.
Bishop Williamson, I hear that our program is drawing to a close. And we wish to thank you for being on Catholic Radio. It was a most informative, thought-provoking, and edifying discussion. And I want you to know that you have an open invitation to return to Catholic Radio anytime.
That's very sweet of you. Okay, well, if I don't get murdered, bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, we've been listening to His Excellency Bishop Richard Williamson of the Society of St. Pius X, offering his insights on the situation in the Church. And we must persevere in our struggle to restore Catholic tradition to its rightful place in Rome. Be with us next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock on Long Island when Craig Heimbichner returns to Catholic Radio. So until next time, this has been your host, Angelo Panzica, thanking you for listening in and reminding you that whilst times change, the Catholic faith remains timeless. It does not change because God does not change.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Thank you, Angelo, for an excellent program this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the Voice of Catholic Tradition on Long Island, brought to you through the courtesy of Alan E. Fricke Memorials Incorporated of Ronkonkoma and Medford. We invite you to visit our website at www.voiceofcatholicradio.com, where programs are archived for your listening pleasure. You can attend the Tridentine Latin Mass in our area at the Church of St. Michael the Archangel, 900 Horseblock Road in Farmingville, Sunday Low Mass at 7. The Sunday High Mass is at 9:30. We remind you to pray for the consecration of Russia by the Pope and all the bishops of the world at the same time on the same day as requested by Our Lady. It has yet to be done in the manner in which she requested it. Pray the daily rosary. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. On behalf of the Voice of Catholic Tradition and Angelo Panzica, this is Tom Luciani thanking you for listening and inviting you to be with us again next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the Voice of Catholic Tradition on Long Island. God bless you. Tenete traditionis.